Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 22, Text 11. Tat praticcha dvijagremam shraddhayo parhitamaya sarvatmananurupam te grihamedhishu karmasu. Tat, therefore, praticcha, please accept, dvija, agriya, agriya, O best of the brahmanas, imam, her, shraddhaya, with faith, upahritam, offered as a presentation, maya, by me, sarva atmana, in every way, anurupam, suitable, te, for you, griha, medhishu, in the household, karmasu, duties. Therefore, please accept her, O chief of the Brahmins, for I offer her with faith, and she is in every respect fit to be your wife and take charge of your household duties. Purport. The words griha medhishu karmasu mean in household duties. Another word is also used here, sarvatmananurupam. The purport is that a wife should not only be equal to her husband in age, character, and qualities, but must be helpful to him in his household duties. The household duty of a man is not to satisfy his sense gratification, but to remain with a wife and children and at the same time attain advancement in spiritual life. One who does not do so is not a householder, but a grihamedhi. Two words are used in Sanskrit literature. One is grihastha, and the other is grihamedhi. The difference between grihamedhi and grihastha is that grihastha is also an ashram, or spiritual order, but if one simply satisfies his senses as a householder, then he is a grihamedhi. For a grihamedhi, to accept a wife means to satisfy the senses. But for a grihastha, a qualified wife is an assistant in every respect for advancement in spiritual activities. It is the duty of the wife to take charge of home, of household affairs and not to compete with the husband. A wife is meant to help, but she cannot help her husband unless he is completely equal to her in age, character, and quality. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandehang Sri Guru Sri Jatapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pradishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tat Pratichcha Dvijagriye Mam, Shraddhayo Paritam Maya, Sarvatmananu Rupam Te, Grihamedhishu Karmasu. So, Swayambhuva Manu is offering his daughter, who he says you should accept her with faith. This is a first-class girl from a good family being offered by her father. This is the first-class system of marriage, that the father offers the chaste daughter to a qualified man. So, sarvatmananu rupam te. She's completely fit to be your companion in householder affairs. Sarvatmana, in all respects, anurupam. Anurupa means suitable. Anu means following, and so it means following the form. That's a way of saying that she'll be compliant, she'll be matching, she'll be helpful to you. This is the duty of the wife, to assist the husband to conform to his mood or match his mood. We were discussing the other day, mridanga players. The duty of the mridanga player is to conform to the person who's leading. When the mridanga player is going ahead or when the mridanga player is lagging behind, it makes for an unsatisfying kirtan, especially for the person who's trying to lead it, and not so great for others either. So the first duty of the mridanga player is to be paying attention to the person who's leading and then to adapt himself, to conform, to pace himself, to be in sync with what the leader is doing or trying to do. And the duty of the wife is similar. She pays attention to her husband. He sees what he's trying to do, what he wants to accomplish, and then she's right there to assist him. Prabhupada talked about three kinds of servants: the one who does what you ask him, the one who's ahead of you and does before you even ask, and the person who doesn't do it even if you ask. So the wife is meant to be the assistant of the husband, to anticipate the husband's wishes, or at least be aware by hearing, this is what we want to do, and to adapt herself to assist. We see that. Later we'll find that Devahuti, because her husband had accepted the life of austerity as an ascetic in the forest, adapted herself. She was coming from a Kshatriya family and a life of luxury, but because she married a sage, she took up the role of a sage's wife and lived as he lived. We find that in, the outstanding example is Gandhari, the wife of Dhritarashtra, who, when she learned that her husband-to-be was blind, accepted blindness so as not to be in a different world from her husband. So it's an exceptional example such sacrifice. But it gives the idea that the wife's duty is to be an assistant companion to the husband in his duties. Perhaps a more pleasant example is Draupadi, who was the wife of King Yudhisthira and was completely on top of the household affairs. The household was no mean business. With so many servants, so many people, so many animals, so many utensils, so much grain stored here and there, so many different things. And she knew all about everything. She was on top of everything. She had the keys to everything. Concept, a little closer to home, our Pradyumna Prabhu, our Sanskrit scholar, married a girl, Arundhati, and she was engaged, I think with Prabhupada's encouragement, if I'm not wrong, in doing transliteration work. She learned Sanskrit, the Sanskrit alphabet, and so she was able to type and follow the text of the commentaries to assist her husband in what he was doing. So it was a good combination. So in this way, the wife is meant to act, and then it will be a progressive householder life, congenial householder life. If the wife is challenging, or if she has the take charge mentality, then it's going to be a rough show. The wife is to be compliant with the husband, not to be competing with the husband. This is the natural mentality. The natural position, the natural arrangement is for the Purusha to be in charge and for the Prakriti to be compliant and helpful. So when husband and wife are in that relationship, the marriage will be suitable. And when the wife wants to compete, the expression in the West is to wear the pants in the family. If she wants to take that position, then it will be not very congenial. So here, Swayambhuva Manu offers that this girl will be Sarvatmananu Rupa. She'll be completely suitable for you. She'll be following your form, Anurupa. She'll be in sync with your activities. She'll be helpful to you in your household duties. And so you should accept her. The living entity is also a Prakriti in relationship to the Supreme Purusha, Krishna. So the living entity's business is to be Sarvatmananu Rupa, to be compliant to the desires of Krishna in every respect. The problem of the living being is that he's picked up the false desire to be Purusha. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Pungte Prakriti Jan Gunan Karanam Gunasangasya Sadasadyoni Janmasham. Because of this false mentality, he is pretending to be a Purusha, aspiring to be a Purusha, trying to be a Purusha. But the result is that he's entangled with the inferior Prakriti with which he has no real relationship. He's trying to enjoy or exploit the Prakriti Jan Gunan, the products of the three modes of nature, the resources of the three modes of nature. But on account of that mentality of trying to exploit Karanam Gunasangasya, he becomes associated with material nature or polluted by material nature. And sadasadyoni janmishu, therefore he has to take birth in different bodies, sometimes higher, sometimes lower. So the Krishna consciousness means to purify our consciousness, to give up the competing or challenging mentality that I'll be one with God, I'll be God, or I'll take the role of God. We used to hear Prabhupada say the living entity wants to be God, and I'd sometimes wonder, what does it mean? You know, well, I'm not thinking I want to be God, I just want to do my little thing here. But essentially it's the same project. God is in charge and enjoys, so we want to also grab something and be in charge of it and enjoy. Whether it's my anything, doesn't matter, from a kingdom or a country down to a pin. We want to be in charge of something and want to enjoy it. So we falsely claim it's mine, like children. It's mine, it's mine. To, what is that? To control, Ishroham aham bhogi, to control and to enjoy. So that's false business. Our real business is Satvana Rupa, to see what does Krishna want. Not what is my own agenda, what will make me happy. Arjuna also said, Krishna, I don't see what enjoyment will we get? What happiness will there be? That's not your business, to see what happiness you can get, what enjoyment there will be, what will satisfy your senses. Nayotsya iti Govindam, O Govinda, reservoir of pleasure for the senses, I'm not going to fight. Our business is to see what Krishna wants and to try to match that, to do that, to be of service to Krishna. Then there'll be a happy relationship with Krishna on the spiritual platform. Okay, are there any questions? Yes. It's difficult to find out what Krishna wants. Therefore, the spiritual master is required. First of all, it's not so difficult to find out what Krishna wants. He says, mam ekam sharanam braja, sarvatar man pratyaja mam, surrender. He tells you what he wants. Just give up all your nonsense and surrender to me. Very easy to find. It's hard to swallow what Krishna wants. That's different. The spiritual master is there as the manifest representation of Krishna. It's taken that what the spiritual master wants is what Krishna wants. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there, if he's not an example, then still she should help him in his ordinary material activities and help him in spiritual life as by being a good devotee herself. By providing an atmosphere of spiritual and spiritually encouraging atmosphere, by providing a peaceful atmosphere in the home, reducing the mode of passion, reducing the mode of ignorance, increasing the mode of goodness. Something else? Yes. What if the nature of the woman is not to be a housewife, not to be so submissive? We don't really trust it. This is the problem, of course, in Kali Yuga. And this is the trouble in marriage, that people don't trust one another. And particularly the wife doesn't trust the husband. That's why the modern arrangement typically is, let's live together and see how it works out. Because, you know, we don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if I trust you. So let's try it out for, you know, a few months or a year or 8 or 10 years. I'm not just making it up. It's not exaggeration, is it? You know people who've been married, you know, been together 8 or 10 years, right? Yeah. So you try, you know, see how it works out. And if it doesn't work out, we can go our separate ways. Because the wife doesn't trust the husband. And from the husband's side, either he doesn't trust the wife or, well, good, it's an opportunity to take advantage. She doesn't trust me and she doesn't, you know, so there's no real strings attached. I can try her out for 6 months or 6 or 8 or 10 years, and then by that time, you know, it'll be like a 386 computer, you know, an 8080 or something, an old model, and I can trade her in on the something that's more up to speed. So the woman really gets the worst end of that deal. It's understandable that Kali Yuga brings that sort of mistrust. Now, what to do under those circumstances? First of all, it's helpful to us to understand that the mentality that we've been trained in to be a take-charge woman who's independent and, you know, gets her equal rights and, you know, makes sure that the husband never gets the better of her and all of that, to understand that cultural mentality doesn't lead to happiness. We have so many things that we've learned from our culture that are bad, especially Western culture. So many things that we've picked up there, dietary habits and so many ideas that are not good for our happiness, not good for our spiritual welfare. So the first thing is to recognize that tradition or training or background, and recognize that, well, I may have it, but it's not very good. Not to think, well, this is who I am, because this is how I was raised, and this is where I'm from, and this is who I am, and so, you know, I hope you like it, because this is me. That's a good formula for difficulty. And then it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You see, you can't trust anybody because you were the kind of wife who, wants her equal rights. And okay, you may want this, but let me tell you what I want. And then when the marriage ends in failure, you see, you can't trust men. They're no good. They're all bums in Kali Yuga. So the first thing is to recognize that's not a high cultural value. The Vedic culture, or still in the Indian culture, we see that in the traditional families, the women have that value. They value that if I can be a good assistant to my husband, then I'm doing my job, then my life is going to be happy. So if we can pick that up, that will improve our situation. Apart from that, marriages should be entered into with care, because it's better to do it right than the first time than to see later that it wasn't really a very good arrangement. The aphorism is measure twice, cut once. So, therefore, marriages are not to be just thrown together affairs, especially thrown together by, I meet somebody and I like her, I meet somebody and he's really in love with me, and 3 weeks later the knot is tied. These things should be done carefully with due consideration. In the Vedic culture, the families are all involved in seeing that the match is suitable. Astrologers are consulted. The compatibility is considered in terms of what kind of boy he is, what kind of girl he is, so many different things. So we should try to see to that also. And above all, chant Hare Krishna. Because the material world is not a perfect place. Matches in the material world are troublesome, don't play with matches. So you'll never find everything exactly right here in the material world. If you find the perfect match, absolutely perfect, you'll probably die young. So whatever the circumstance, better to chant Hare Krishna
and always be Krishna conscious, and that will help us through all difficulties. Yes, Maji. As the astrologer, right.
Well, the first thing, I think you had 2 points, but just to mention something. You're right that the infrastructure, the support system is not very good at this point. The first thing is the same point, to recognize that the infrastructure is not very good. It needs to be improved. Not to just say, well, that's who we are and that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Sometimes the things are the husband is not a great breadwinner, and so the wife takes that position, and then that fuels a sort of take charge mentality on the part of the wife. A few comments on that. One is that sometimes I've seen that just circumstantially work. The husband's a very good devotee. The wife's a very good devotee. Wife sees, well, my husband's really a Brahminical chap, and I'm more of a Vaishya kind of a girl. And just accept that and live with it. It works out well because of Krishna consciousness, even though it might be materially not exactly the standard template. By the force of Krishna consciousness, they make that work. A second thought is that in such a circumstance, the girl can help the situation by recognizing that she's not going to live very opulently, and to adapt herself to a life of modest means. There are ways of living in Krishna consciousness that really don't cost all that much money. There are farm communities. There are temples to be taken charge of by a suitable couple. There are temples really just open for the taking. There are adventures where you go out to a new place and preach and see what Krishna sends. There are alternatives to the just traditional. He gets a job and works and makes money, and if he doesn't do it, then she does it. And if the wife sees that she's married such a husband, well, okay, then that's what it's about, and let's do that. And in many ways, that can be a better deal, not to get all into, you know, a husband who's basically working 9 to 5 and bringing home money for the family and working his head off. You're lucky you married a rabbinical guy. You're not going to live a very rich life, but you'll have a lot of spiritual engagement and opportunities for spiritual advancement. So she can look at it that way. And I know everything is more complex than that. We've just talked about a couple of thoughts. There are lots more things to think about. Yes. Yeah, very good point. I was talking to some of our young men about this during the summer, that the brahmacharya training is very important. The current wisdom is that, well, all the boys are going to get married. Well, if all the boys are going to get married, all the boys better get something together in their spiritual life before they get married so that they've got something to give. If you're going to be somebody's spiritual master, which is what a husband is supposed to be, you better have something to give. So parents of boys can think that if I want my son to be a qualified man, if I want him to marry a qualified girl, if I want him to be a qualified husband, I should see that he gets good spiritual training so that he'll know who he is, he'll know the purpose of life, he'll know how to control his senses, he'll know how to engage himself in the service of Krishna and engage others in the service of Krishna. That training is crucial. Good brahmacharyas make good grihasthas. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brahmins can sometimes come up with surprising resources for their families. Kardama Muni being the case in point. Yes. 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 Yeah, ideal marriages are problematic. It's good, those marriages that don't work are really the good ones. I sometimes have joked that in previous ages there were sannyas, in this age there's divorce. But they should both be like one way, you know, okay, I'm divorced, forget it. Not I'm divorced, let me try it again. Should learn something. All right, I think we should stop here. Is that all right? Okay. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.